Chapter 1. 1 year later. Between the time apart for Hal's shoulder surgery and her absence following John's death, Haley had spent most of last spring readjusting to working beside Hal. Not to mention that her neck had ached for the first few weeks. Haley made it a rule never to stand closer than 2 feet from Hal while talking to him. She developed a chronic ache in her neck when they first started working together. It was from all the looking up at him. Barefoot, Hal was 6'4", where Haley was only 5'4" in heels. Haley was a pale white, the color gracious people call alabaster, and others might call pasty, while Hal was so dark-skinned black that unless his eyes were open wide enough to catch the whites, they melted into the shadow between his cheeks and nose. Her head was a mound of dark curls, Hal's shaved bald. Despite the physical differences, Hal had never acted in a way to suggest that he was bigger, stronger, or better than Haley, even though he was at least 2 of the 3. More and more, Haley thought he was 3 for 3. Monday morning, after working all weekend, Hal announced that they had a lead on the Denig murders. Several weapons matching ones stolen from Denig distribution more than a year before had turned up in the arrest of a local weapons dealer. The Trigger Lock Group, who handled weapons-related crimes, was putting together a sting. Hal pushed the DA's office to resubmit their request to exhume the body of Nicholas Fredericks, a lobbyist against guns and gun manufacturers. His fingerprint had been found on both the NRA buttons found at the murders, both Denig's and Colby Wesson's up in Sacramento. Monday afternoon, when Haley was practically asleep on her feet, Hal came bursting into the department like a storm, waving a piece of paper.
They approve the court order!
Haley took a sharp inhalation. They're letting us exhume the body? They had been waiting a year to get access to Fredericks's corpse.
Yep.
It had been 14 months since the Denigs were murdered. There were defensive wounds on her and lacerations on him that were consistent with a letter opener that Abby Denig kept in the car. Cause of death, COD, on her was strangulation, exsanguination for him. Crime scene unit, CSU, had ruled out other blood types, but the vehicle had contained no fewer than 30 unidentifiable prints and a dozen hair samples that didn't belong to the victims or their kids. According to several of the Denigs' friends, the couple had been in the midst of filing for divorce at the time of their deaths. The scene suggested the two had killed each other. The Denigs had 2 children, both girls, just like Haley and John had. Now, those girls had no parents. Who was taking care of those girls? They had family, but it wasn't the same. Kids needed their parents. It was the kind of case Haley would have been a bulldog about, except for the timing. At the time, Haley was also working on a serial rape case alongside Jamie Vale and trying to solve the murder of one of their colleagues. She never should have caught this case, but she did, because Jim had insisted. Murder by spouse was the right call, based on practical assumptions. Locard's principle, the simplest explanation, was usually the right one. This time, it wasn't. After Haley had closed the investigation, a sheriff up near Sacramento linked a suspected suicide to the Denig's murder via a partial fingerprint on a small, round, anti-NRA button. It was identical to a button found in the minivan where Abby and Hank Denig were killed. The print matched a man named Nicholas Fredericks, who worked for a local organization on gun violence. He was a big lobbyist in Washington, D.C. for stricter gun regulations, and he'd had the ear of some very powerful people before he was shot and killed. Fredericks made a great suspect with one small problem. He had been dead for 12 years. Now, over a year after the 3 murders, they still only had the 2 partial prints, each on a separate button. The court approval to disinter the body of Nicholas Fredericks meant the investigation could finally move forward. Haley looked at the time on her phone. She was half tempted to go pull him out of the ground now.
I'll let the cemetery know we're coming tomorrow morning.